City Council meeting. Let the record reflect that all members of council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Commander Brian Millard.
Please place your hand over your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. Glad you came out tonight and glad you're with us. Some announcements. I think everybody has announcements here tonight. First off, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, from 7 to noon-ish, the police department and SWAT team is going to be doing training exercises at the corner of Shasta and Dunes. That's behind City Hall. Shasta will in likelihood be blocked off, as will Dunes, and there's going to be SWAT teams and probably shooting. There's going to be some, you know, it's going to be kind of wild, so don't flip out. It's all part of police training, and we're glad that they can use the facilities that we're going to ultimately tear down for training exercise. Thank Craig Schmidt, John Weiss, Eco Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, and I know many other people were involved in the new tree-wrapped lights. I said that wrong. On Main Street, Morbay Boulevard is going to be done this weekend, correct? And so our trees will be lighted again, and we thank you for all the efforts. That's been a lot of work getting that done. A little commercial for one of our fishermen, Jeremiah O'Brien, who's been up albacore fishing, Oregon, is coming in this week with a load of albacore, and he will be selling albacore off his boat Friday, starting at 9:30. That's the Aguero down at the launch ramp. You won't be able to miss it. Go down to the launch ramp. I'm sure he'll probably have an A-frame sign or something down there. But here's an opportunity to get some fresh albacore from a local boat. And want to thank everybody involved with the Morbay Community Foundation for the great fundraiser they had in this room Saturday night. Elton John music, Grambo and the Jets. It was a packed house, and I think some good money was raised by them to benefit our kids with the recreational program. So thank you to everybody involved in that. There was clearly a tremendous amount of work that went into that. Noah.
Thank you. A couple of announcements. One is a continuation of the Central Coast Veterans Support Group that Ms. Deanna Kennedy has been hosting and developed. They're going to be having another potluck meal. It's a follow-up to the one they had a couple months back. And that's going to be Tuesday, November 15th. Passionate about this, and anyone who may be interested can call her at 440-9263. I have a couple of meetings coming up for my representation for the council. I've got the National Estuary Program meeting coming up this Wednesday, the 9th, tomorrow. And then next week on Wednesday, the 16th, we have the Air Pollution Control District Fugitive Dust Rule hearing at the San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors Chambers starting at 9 a.m., and that's specific to the Oceano Dunes Off-Highway Vehicle Park. And you can get information about the dust rule that's proposed at the San Luis Obispo Air Pollution Control District website. Definitely check that out if you're interested in that. And just wanted to give a shout-out to what's happening here on the waterfront right now. We have an exciting program that's basically taking the fish carcasses and things off of our fish processing facilities and taking it, called a farm fish to farms program, that's really developed out of Pacific Wildlife Care. A gentleman named Russ and Pacific Wildlife Care Board, along with Verges, have really taken the lead on this. Our harbor department's assisted, and it's really exciting to see them take this waste product that was causing some challenges with our burned wildlife population and turn it into something that is beneficial for farms. So it's something that is very worthy of your support. And I'm sure if you have some additional money or something that you think might support the program, you could contact our harbor department and let them know. This is all volunteer at the moment, but it's a leadership program in the county and is already being looked to expand to Port San Luis. So yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, just to go along with the lighted boat parade, the Chamber of Commerce is trying to get a program going where we're going to try to get all the people of Morro Bay, the business people, residents alike, to really decorate for Christmas this year. We'd like to. So anyway, give Greg some support on this, and let's light up this town, and maybe we can become the Christmas town. Okay.
Thank you. Yes, are we going to have lights? It's again time for the annual Morro Bay Beautiful Holiday Decorating Contest. And actually, this year we are partnering with the Chamber of Commerce. They're going to be doing the work on the commercial entries, but we'll still be providing wonderful signs for those. So be sure your lights are on at your house and you're all decorated on Friday, December 9th, Saturday, December 10th, and Sunday, December 11th for judging. Those are the nights our judges will be driving around town and picking out the winners. The winners will be presented on Thursday, December 15th. We'll be out in the trolley singing and ringing jingle bells and putting up signs in your yard that say you're a winner. So get those lights up and your decorations ready to go. Also, I know there will be more about this, but Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, November 27th, is our annual Merchants Fair. You'll hear more about that. And I know Carla has more lights.
County Chambers for the banning of the single-use bag, known as a grocery, your plastic grocery bags, for anyone who's interested in that. And then Thursday, the 10th, is our JPA meeting. It will be, we'll be going over the rough draft screening analysis, and that's here at 6 o'clock at the community center. And also Thursday, the 10th, is Eco Rotary. They meet at 5:30 at Dorn's Restaurant, and the club is open to anyone who's interested in joining. Thursday night is also the last football game at the high school, Morro Bay High School, home game. So for those of you who aren't at the JPA meeting or Rotary, hopefully you can go to the football game. Then the I was asked to talk about the annual Thanksgiving dinner hosted by the Morro Bay Peace Officers Association and Rotary Club, Thursday, November 24th on Thanksgiving Day from 1 to 3 at the Morro Bay Community Center on Kennedy Way. For those of you who need transportation, the local call a ride will be available. You can call 772-6284 to reserve having a meal delivered, and you can call Dial a Ride for a ride, 772-5514. And they will make sure you get there. The other few things I have are the Morro Bay High School is now looking for sponsors for their Safe and Sober graduation. So please be looking for parents who will be coming into the businesses looking for support for that. Luminaries, and you can contact Nancy Johnson, 772-3336. Or myself, 772-9051, if you're interested. 3738 for Nancy, sorry, 3738. If you're interested in participating and helping volunteer with the luminaries. The almost done, I know, sorry. I want to, with Integrated Waste Management and looking in my packet for this week, I did notice a just a recognition for the participation in the National Prescription Drug Take-Back Program, October 29th. The county had a collective drop-off that day. They collected approximately 1,500 pounds of unwanted pharmaceuticals in San Luis Obispo County. So those were all gathered up and transported, and by doing this, it provides a safe disposal for the unwanted households' medications, keeping them out of the landfills and off the streets. And I really want to continue to thank our police department for being a leader in that. And one last thing I would just ask is, and I don't have the time or date, Commander Millard, for the Carolyn cop cars.
Thank you, Councilmember Borchard. Yes, for our annual Carolyn Cops parade through the city, the dates are December 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And if it's raining, we have December 9th, a Friday, set aside for that as well.
Chief Pond.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to make a couple brief announcements. Tomorrow, November 9th, the federal government will be conducting those interruptions tomorrow. Also, I want to remind everybody that as we change our clocks back, like we did this last weekend, we want to remember to change out our smoke detector batteries and carbon monoxide batteries. So stay safe this holiday season and keep those homes smoke and carbon monoxide free. Thank you.
Great. Eric Endersby, you may have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor Yates, and good evening, City Council. I have a quick presentation for you on our lifeguard season. Normally, it would have been our lifeguard coordinator, Cale Moore, but Cale has moved on to other endeavors, and we wish him the best of luck in that. This year was relatively quiet in terms of rescues and other serious incidents. I'm chalking it up to good preventative lifeguarding. We had a pretty busy summer, as usual. We had an estimated attendance of 72,000 persons. That's based on spot checks three times a day. The lifeguards do an actual count of the numbers of people, and there's an extrapolation that occurs, and we come up with a number at the end. Seems to range from the low 70s to the high 80s, depending kind of on season and just kind of tourism in general. This year, we did not conduct a USLA Lifeguard Training Academy, as we did not need to. Both the lifeguards and the junior lifeguard program had plenty of returning lifeguards and junior lifeguard instructors, so we did not have to hold that academy. We will likely be holding another academy come this next season. Our season started on Memorial Day weekend and then went into about mid-May until went to full seven-day-a-week coverage then and continued seven-day-a-week coverage through Labor Day weekend when we went again to weekends only. This year, we did something a little different. Usually by mid-September, we're pretty much shut down. This year, we had the tower still on the beach. So this year, we had 118 days of complete coverage. We had seven rescues, meaning persons in imminent peril, 248 preventative actions, meaning if a lifeguard hadn't intervened, the person's safety would have been compromised if left to continue, 34 medical aids, including three major medicals where advanced medical care was indicated, usually meaning ambulance transport to the hospital or self-transport to the hospital, five lost and found persons. They're usually children, but sometimes children come looking for their parents. 1,432 public contacts, which can be anything from somebody asking where the best fish and chips is to where's the best place to swim for the kids. 30 animal rescues, but most importantly, zero drownings, zero near drownings. I'm pretty proud of my crew, and I'm proud of the job they did, as always, and we're looking forward to another good season next year.
Thank you, Eric. Good job. Please pass on our thanks and compliments to everybody who worked. They're great having them out there. You want to say anything? Okay, we're at, closed session report. Rob?
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, Council went in closed session to discuss personnel issues, the annual evaluation of the city attorney. No action was taken where the councilor requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you. We are at public comment. Any of you would like to, please, you come up first. Come on. Here we go. Please state your name for the record. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes. When the buzzer and light goes off, please conclude. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor Yates and City Council members and citizens of Morro Bay. Susan McDonnell, I'm here with MV Transportation, and I'm here to talk about Morro Bay Transit. But first of all, not to repeat what we make sure that we bring the trolley to. That's the best part. The trolley comes to people's house. So the trolley will come to your house and pick up you, your family, your neighbors, and take you to and from the Thanksgiving dinner. And next, I'm going to talk about Morro Bay Transit. Thank you. Effective 2 weeks ago, October 24th, the schedule on Morro Bay Transit changed, and all the bus stops have new times. We now meet the RTA bus at the park, at Morro Bay Park, every hour on the hour, and Morro Bay Transit accepts all the RTA passes, the ones they provide. We go up North Main Street, which RTA no longer does. We go all the way to Yerba Buena. We've added a couple new stops. One of them is the community center and slash senior center, and one of them is Morro Dunes RV Park. Our transit bus arrives hourly at each stop, and then between stops, the drivers can stop anywhere that's safe. As long as someone waves, they'll pull over and get them, and the driver can let them off anywhere along the route that's safe also. Our route now begins at 625 at the city yard and goes north, first stopping at Spencer's, and it starts at 625. I said that. The last bus we meet at the park is 5 p.m., and then we go north that time, taking everyone in the north route home, and the route ends at 545 at the high school. The transit bus stops conveniently in front of Spencer's front door, Cookie Crock front door, and Albertson's front door. The transit bus has two bicycle racks on it, and it has them, and also the very bottom of this, you can see the website. You can find the transit brochure on the Morro Bay City website. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Thanks for coming down. Good evening, Gary.
Hi. Yeah, Gary Johnson, a resident of Morro Bay. Santa Claus is coming to town. Coming to town, out there TV land, remember that. Bring your kids down to the Merchants Fair on November 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. We're going to have Santa Claus there. You can take have your picture taken, and that's adults too. You know, you can have your picture taken with Santa Claus. There's nothing wrong with that. And then you could whisper in the Santa Claus ear, which your spouses or whatever can bring you, and he'll keep it a secret. And then the pictures, it's 4x6 on site. You get your picture right then for $6, and then the other prices are listed there in Christmas card order. And most importantly, the percentage of the proceeds, we're going to give those to San Luis Obispo Women's Shelter. I know at Suite 1 is being sponsored this. That's on Embarcadero at Marina Square. And also where it's going to be is the Morro Bay Realty Company has let us use their front part of their office, which is really neat. It's all indoors, so if it's raining, don't worry about it. Come down anyway, and there'll be refreshments and all that. It's really going to be a fun event at the Merchants Fair, November 27th. So be sure to bring your kids out there in TV land so they can kids can get their orders in shortly. And I do want to mention that Suite 1, last year they raised about $2,000 at Suite 1. As you wanted. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Who'd like to go next?
Good evening, everyone. Craig Schmidt, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. I want to let you know the tall ships are coming back to Morro Bay. Lady Washington is going to be coming into the bay November 17th, and she'll be here till the 20th. If you haven't had an opportunity to go down there and go on deck, it's quite an experience. And you can go to morrobay.org for more information and scheduling on the activities on the Lady Washington. On November 17th, next Thursday, we're doing our expo and mixer. And this year we're doing it in conjunction with the Slow Food Bank. This time of year is very difficult for many families that don't know where their next meal is coming from and being food secure. $1 buys 10 pounds of food, which can provide 7 meals for a family. So what we're asking is that folks come to the expo, bring their few extra dollars or spare change, or write a check. They love checks too. And help out with the food bank and the supplies that they need over the holiday season. Also, I'd like to reiterate thanks to all the folks that participated in the downtown lighting project. Thanks to the Gorilla Gardeners and Noah Smuckler, Hank Roth, Beth and John Wordsworth were there stringing lights up. And we also want to thank the major sponsors, Morro Bay Merchants, Miner's Hardware, the City of Morro Bay, the Gorilla Gardeners, again, and the Equal Rotary Club. And we'd also like to thank those that contributed money to purchase the lights. Nancy and Gary Johnson, thank you. Carla's Country Kitchen, thank you. Coast Electronic Boulevard and Main Street at 10 o'clock this Saturday to light up the rest of Morro Bay Boulevard. And with that, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. Have a great night.
Thank you, Craig. Who'd like to go next? Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Thank you. Kevin Rice from San Luis Obispo. It's good to be back in Morro Bay with my friends, Mary Yates, Noah, George, Carla, and Nancy. I am here because of the APCD vote next Wednesday that Mr. Schmuckler spoke about. I've really got some problems with what's going on at the APCD. First of all, the dust study is not valid. It's not correct. There's some major problems with it. There's no way I can fit it into 3 minutes. I never can fit it into 3 minutes. Thus, nobody cares. But I'm going to try to fit in a couple things. You may have heard about the expert peer review in that study. Well, I'm going to talk about four of them. Mr. Michael Taylor wrote in an email, which was just recently obtained in a public records request, "I should begin by noting that I'm an engineer, but my specialty is not air pollution. My previous work with the Delta Davis Group," that's key, I'll come back to that, "began as on the design and installation of sand fences. My comments, therefore, are as an interested but non-expert reader." He's a self-proclaimed non-expert. That's one of their expert peer reviewers. The Delta Davis Group, by the way, was one of the authors of the study. That's kind of a tight relationship for an independent peer review. Second peer reviewer, Melvin Zeldin. He's the executive director of the Air Pollution Control Officers Association, of which our local air pollution control officer is a member and is on the board. The EPA donated $25,000 towards the study. Again, there's a compromise there. I have serious issues with this study, and I'd love to talk about all the others, but I wanted to bring those up. In general, this study, even if the study was right, let's just give for a minute that the dust study is correct. And actually, it partially is. There's a lot of dust coming off those dunes because there's 20,000 acres of sand dunes, of which the USGS says 500 million pounds of sand blow on shore every year. You're trying to solve a 20,000-acre natural dust problem by focusing on a 1,200-acre riding area. It's not going to work to focus on 1,200 acres. You got to deal with the whole issue of the 20,000 acres and the natural blown dust. I agree there's a dust problem. I agree there's something we can do about it. Focusing and denigrating riders in a 1,200-acre area isn't the answer. I would very much appreciate if your rep, Mr. Schmuckler, would direct staff to answer some of the questions that we brought up, expand this thing to look at the whole picture, and bring it back in January instead of hammering this thing through. Parks has been collaborating, and Parks will continue to collaborate, but not if you bring a hammer on us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. Who would like to go next? Good evening, John. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. I have a question, and the question is this. Who is Richard S. Otto? Now, the reason I ask this is because I'm in possession of a copy of a letter from Mr. Otto, a hotel on this rock. For your information, this rock is 576 feet high and covers an area of approximately 160 acres. I desire to construct an inclined railway to the summit of this rock and to build and maintain a high-class resort. Richard S. Otto. Okay, don't panic. Don't panic. That was 1924. This is a historical record that I obtained from the lighthouse, Point San Luis Lighthouse Keepers. And there's more to this history, which I shall reveal at a later talk up here. But what I would like to do is invite everybody to enjoy the Point San Luis Lighthouse annual celebration, which is coming up on December 10th. Folks will be able to go out on our old Molly the Trolley, now known as Lucy the Trolley, at the lighthouse. And they're taking tours out there to the lighthouse, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun with carolers and musicians and refreshments and raffles and all kinds of fun stuff. They can contact the Point San Luis Lighthouse Keepers at 540-5771 or just go on the web to sanluislighthouse.org. It's really a lot of fun, and you can additionally, the lighthouse keepers are looking for new docents, and this is a real opportunity for people that would like to have some fun, do something that's attached to history, and it's just a real kick for those people that are involved in it. Anyway, there's a lot of information that docents are given. It's information like what I just shared a little teeny bit of with you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that, again, is December 10th, and it'll be a
lot of fun. Anyone? Going once? Going twice? Back to council? Thank you, Susan, for coming down tonight and sharing, giving us an update on the transportation system. And Gary, thank you for coming down. And Craig, Kevin, pleasure to see you here. Goodbye. And John, thanks for your comments. And we are at the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull any? Any over here?
Just wanted to pull A4 informational. Want a motion to approve?
That would be great.
Okay, I move we approve items A1, 2, and 3.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0, A4. Noah?
Yes, so I just did want to pull A4, which is in regards to some shifting of positions within City Hall and the staff reports. I did want to give Ms. Luker a chance to describe those positions a little more for the public's knowledge.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just briefly, you're probably aware, and I think the public is generally aware, that our city clerk will be retiring effective December 31st of this year. Through an internal recruitment we did a few months ago, we've replaced the city clerk position with the existing human resources analyst in City Hall. And that kind of started a cascade of events that we're asking for your final approval this evening. Basically, what we're going to be doing is taking our existing senior accounting technician, and that person will move laterally to the human resources analyst position that is now available because she is moving to the city clerk position. Then our existing account clerk 3 person will move into a new position that we're asked. We are also asking approval tonight for a new job description, which will be legal assistant / deputy city clerk, and that will replace the existing office assistant 4 position in the city attorney's office. This reorganization or mini reorganization of City Hall that we're doing is basically going to save approximately $29,000, predominantly in the water fund, and that savings does not include any cost, any savings in benefits that we will realize. So we feel it's a good move, and we thank you for potentially approving this tonight.
Okay. Any further comments? You good? Okay, my last comment would be that, Ms. Bauer, I hope you come and hang out at meetings. We'll miss you. But no, you'll be here. So with that, I'll move. We approve. Consent. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Touché, right? So I'll move approval.
Second.
Discussion? Georgia stepped out. It didn't matter. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 4-0. What happened to George?
He's got a little allergy.
Well, why don't we just we'll skip down now to D1. And we can start with the path, and then George will be back, and we can get to you. So who wants to start? You, Noah? Just go with your path.
Sure. Actually, this came up coming to that area from the Harbor Walk, and for disabled type sand quality disabled vehicles and so on. But when you start moving closer to the high tide line, staying above in the parking lot, there's riprap is very informal and is actually often traversed across as people try to get from the parking lot down to the beach. And the majority of the people are taking the direct route from where they park as they pull up at the rock and looking to get down to the beach. So a citizen actually brought this up to me, and I thought it was a good idea. He actually spent some time down there taking some pictures of the situation. He was there for about 20 minutes, and if AGP wouldn't mind coming out, I'd like to share those pictures, which are down. They're actually down there on the projector. So Mr. Latham was down there on July 31st, which was obviously a busy summer weekend for us. It was Sunday. He was there. He took pictures between 4 and 4:20 p.m., and in those 20 minutes alone, he found approximately 50 people crossing down from the parking lot itself across the riprap to the high tide line approximately. Generally, the area, what was interesting was that it was the same area for almost all of those people. It was around the wooden log bench, if you know it, where that is, which is right about the high tide line. People are looking, they pull up, they want to get right down to the beach. So it seemed like a very powerful statement about the number of people that would be using this on a busy weekend. You can see that there's some different options, the scale of options ranging from something more rustic, utilizing the existing rock and maybe adding some, to something a little more to match our existing harbor walk and creating a scenario like that. So we brought this forward. The council supported it, and Mr. Livick has put together a bit of a report which is focusing mostly on the I guess you'd say, the Cadillac version of a ramp down. And if you don't mind, I'll turn it over to him to review that report or the components of it as far as the financials and so on.
Thank you, Councilman Smuckler. And again, I want to apologize in public for misspelling your name in the report. I did some research into beach access, and the access board, the federal government does have beach access guidelines that talk about when you build access to the beach, it needs to accommodate all users. If a stairway were to be constructed, it would also have to be accompanied with a ramp, not a ream, as also there's another typo in this report. I looked at what it would cost to comply with the regulations and to construct a ramp down to the beach. It will cost approximately $83,000 to design, construct, and permit a ramp from the parking lot level down that approximately 5 feet to that revetment work to protect that construction. So the Waterfront Master Plan does recognize the stair access down to the beach. Current ADA beach access guidelines would require that a method to accommodate all users be constructed if you're considering constructing a formalized pedestrian access down to the beach. And again, the approximate cost of that is about $83,000 to do that construction. With that, the next steps that I envision that this concept be reviewed by the Parks and Recreation Commission and the Public Works Advisory Board, and then their recommendations be rolled back to City Council. Thank you very much.
If I could follow up on that. Mr. Livick, would you mind, with that price tag, we had a conversation about some alternative funds that we could potentially be accessible for us to pay for this?
Yeah, some of the funding method programs that we could apply for would be the Prop 84 Parks grants. excuse me, T, which is a transportation enhancement program. Their grant program, perhaps eligible. Perhaps it could fit into a byways program, and then. Of course, there would be a match required with most of those that would need to come from a city source, so somewhere around. We'd have benches. Also, we can't rule out the adopt a walkway to the beach program. Perhaps private donations could be also secured to help fund a portion of this. Those are really the funding opportunities that I see for something like this.
And could you briefly review the permitting process as far as if we did decide we like the concept, what you would see the process there being and how complicated it would be?
It would require, it's in the Coastal Commission's original jurisdiction and would require a coastal permit. After talking with Coastal Commission staff, they feel that it does require a permit, although this does enhance access to the beach and would be something that they would be supportive of through the permitting process. So, yes, while it does require that often feared trip to the Coastal Commission, we feel that we would have their support in a project like this.
Okay, great. Just to sum up my comments, I think that this is worth pursuing, particularly with the advisory boards. Let's hear from them and give further opportunity for some public comment. I would assume that the Harbor Advisory Board might also be worthwhile to bring this to, just to vet it through them. And, overall, I think that the point about the impacts where we could identify the best place that would give us the longest life and make this worthwhile as we go forward. Did you want to make a comment, Mr. Levick?
Well, I was just going to say, I've spoken with one of our local marine engineers who would be very excited to help us along with this project, and he has some ideas about cost-effective ways, placement of it, so we get the benefits from it, yet not minimizing those costs to design it to withstand all of the worst forces that would be exerted on it.
Okay. So to sum up, I think we would benefit from creating this pathway. It's an invitation for people that obviously the Rock is one of our best destinations in town. It draws people as they come through, whether they're planning to go down there or not, and we lack an invitation for those that pull right up. It looks, going through the revetment, I would say, for a large family with little kids or elderly or disabled right now, it's a pretty formidable barrier, and I would have to assume that a number of people pull up and think to themselves, well, maybe we should just go to Cayucas and get dinner and stay there. So I'd like to get this stairway and ramp in place if possible. So those are my comments.
Right. We don't understand that argument. Do you have any questions or comments for Noah before we move on to the part two?
No, we've talked about this a little bit before and the need for it. I think that I'm supportive of it. Just finding the funding source is
paying for this outside of alternative funds with perhaps the match, but if we get this plan and have it be as close to shovel ready as possible, then when we see some alternative funds that are appropriate, we can jump all over it.
We good here? You good? Thank you, Noah. All right, we're going to piggyback on the first concept plan for the whole Rock area. And I think the goal here is to move these two simultaneously through these committees. But if we get to the end of this and you guys want to separate them out, we can do that. So I'll give this to George now.
Well, I want to apologize for my allergy attack here. When it hits me, it just gets me right now. So I'm sorry about that. And what a time when I got something very important in front of me. But anyway, we have Bill and Tony Woodley. Woody, that's been working with me on this project, and boy, they've been really putting forth an effort. And these people really need a praise for what they've done. And they really got a good project going here. It's concept of what we like to do out the Rock. Maybe it's not perfect, but it's really a good start. And it goes right along with what Noah's trying to do also. So we're trying to piggyback this on to it, and Anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Mrs. Woody. I'm sorry, I can't even talk. I'm sorry. Anyway, Bill, go away with it. I'm going to stop talking now. Sorry.
Good enough. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. What my wife and I have done, let me tell you a little, that would perhaps attract more people, bring more people to Morro Bay, and money to Morro Bay, of course. What we've done is we've kind of gone over the top compared to the, just the ramp idea, and we haven't priced anything out. We just have a concept that we want to give to you to for consideration, argument, modification, whatever is necessary. But I'll just start off to the left here. Well, no, start at the beginning. Along the Bay Area, what we had in mind was a walkway that would extend from the water outflow over to almost the where the boardwalk ends now, and that would be either concrete or boardwalk or whatever, and then adjacent to that, put in a paved parking area. Now, we don't think the entire area should be paved. It should be left DG. Probably should be graded and some of the holes filled in with DG is decomposed granite, filled in somewhat. And then with the driveway into the area, that parking area that we have along the cliff there, along the beach there, will, as we have it designed, would hold approximately 90 cars. Adjacent to that, we put in a park area with picnic benches, barbecue pits, and that sort of thing. And then right at the end, we have a playground area. And we didn't address the accessible situation to the beach. We do have a, excuse me, a stair. This thing takes place. You need a lot of people in there. And, you know, this is just a rough drawing, actually. This is a pretty good drawing my wife did. But and also, on the far left side, close to the rock, we were thinking about putting in a couple of volleyball courts because beach volleyball is a pretty big area. Now, I realize that the placement of the volleyball courts would be in a shaded area from the rock and during, you know, certain times of the day. But we were thinking about putting it there because it's in the lee of the rock, so you wouldn't have a wind situation in that area. And that's pretty much all I got to say about it.
Questions for Mr. Woody over here? Over here. Thank you very much. Very impressive job. Thank you for doing this for us.
Our pleasure.
If this moves forward, you're probably going to be asked to go to Harbor, go to PWAB, and go to
Yeah, we're used to that.
And do it again. Thank you so much. We're glad you live in Morro Bay. George?
No, that just about wraps it up there. And I'll repeat again, these people have been working very hard on this, and I personally really appreciate it, and when this project, I hope when it gets done, it's really going to be nice for Morro Bay. It's going to be a great attraction, so I hope it goes through.
So what we want to do is just move this through the same process as Noah's Pathway. I know the first question would be, how are you going to pay for it? I've always seen this as one step at a time. Noah's Path, you know, the walkway.
Design this in such a way to be, it could be done in stages. You know, like put in the parking area, the drive area, do the DG, and as money comes in, do the children's play area or whatever the priority is that you have. But we didn't design it to do it. We didn't think in terms of doing it all at once, is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you very much. So can we get support on that?
Comments?
Please.
Thank you for doing it. It's beautiful, and conceptually, certainly I'd be down there utilizing a lot of that. My concern right now would be that we have already gone down a path of looking at and identifying a lot of changes for the waterfront master plan through the last few years and paid a firm, RRM Designs, to create a master plan to move forward that the city's invested a lot of money in, and I don't know how this meshes with that or doesn't. So I don't, until we revisit what they've done for us and how we could integrate the two or look at them side by side, I don't know that I would want to go forward without that component first.
Could we not send the waterfront master plan with this?
Well,
not having it next to me, and just it seems to me, but I could be wrong in this, that some of this encroaches on that. Most of this is blank on the master plan. But there, I believe there's some encroachment. I don't know if it's the roadway or the existing boardwalk or if the volleyball courts were kept, it could be over here, and that could be moved over here, and let's move do this, and let's, hey, what about this? We didn't think of that. So all we're trying to do is get this moved through the process, put RRM's design with it, and get some feedback, and try to ultimately have a master plan. Because we don't have a master plan with that, not for this area.
Well, I think part of everything to the left we do, I believe, is that correct, Mr. Woods? Everything to the left side RRM has designed?
Yeah, right now you've got concept plans for the improvements of Coleman Park and also Target Rock area. And that's what we've been working on right now. They're in concept, and we'll be picking up the pace here as resources become available.
So, no. Unless we're not understanding one another.
Pardon?
You said everything to the left here is master's.
On the waterfront side.
Left of the road.
Sorry, I was looking to left here.
Left of the road.
This side.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of this side coming out where the wherever the road. Well, I'm kind of confused as to how the roads are going here.
Well, here's the road. And to the left of the road, there's nothing on this plan.
The existing road.
Right. So what has been master planned is not on this drawing. That would be below the roadway on the drawing here. See, so the whole rock area that we're talking about has not been master planned.
So my question would be, if I can, would be to Mr. Woods, slow that process up. Do you see a way to marry these two and try to bring them through the process?
Thank you. I certainly do. I mean, you've got an opportunity to redevelop Coleman Park and Target Rock, and to fold in the parking lot area makes good sense. It would take some time to get adequate public input. I think that the amount of time we spent on the existing concept plans was quite a bit of public outreach, and as well as advisory boards. So I don't see this as hindering. I just think if you want to add it in, it's a time to do that in the concept arena. So I would say definitely do that. This is the first I've seen of this new design, but I think that through the park master planning process, it could be folded in, and certainly could be developed in stages as well.
So would you anticipate then holding back Coleman Park and Target Rock and trying to get this caught up to that? Is that what you would see if we wanted to pursue this?
I don't think if we had funding coming in, I don't think we'd want to slow down the process that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fairly in the beginning. You're talking about a process that is in concept, and there's no detail. We still need public outreach for the concept plans that we have to detail what's in them. Like, you've got details with volleyball courts and play areas, and those are things that we flesh out during the public process. That if does the public really, are these the elements and the amenities in this area that the public's looking for? And if they are, they withstand the process, and they're folded into the master plan.
So if
I wouldn't say slowing it down, I would say incorporate Coleman and Target Rock.
I'm talking conceptual, like what you've done with public outreach so far and so on. How much time has it involved from your staff time to hard costs? I mean, you could is it significant, or is this front end fairly light on that an investment?
It's heavy if you're just now looking at it at the beginning, but basically there are tens of thousands of dollars to incorporate into
$20,000-$30,000 into master planning and outreach and concept plans into the design. We're fortunate enough to I don't know if Bill and his wife are volunteering their time and their efforts, which is awesome, but there are others out there that we incorporate that don't. And the price for the developing estimates and conceptual plans does cost a little bit of money. I don't know if I answered your question. It was a little bit tough because you asked me about some hard numbers, and really we haven't gone down that path with any kind of estimates. We've spent, I think, $35,000-$40,000 on the planning so far in that area.
Would you be concerned about priorities being shifted if this was to be folded in? Do you think we would lose effort and time being focused on other things that we've identified as a priority or that you have on your work schedule?
I don't think so. I think that if you're going to incorporate it now, is the time, and to have these three, if you can call it a triangle kind of a effect, you really want to blend them together so you're not duplicating any of the services. You're complementing one another on either the landscapes or the amenities, and as well as the function. So I think if you combine them all and you have that.
They're nearby each other. So my thought is, without really looking at the specifics within the design, I'm comfortable with this going forward, but I'd prefer it actually go to be matched with Coleman and Target, the conceptual plan there, to follow that process. If it needs to be caught up to get to the Coleman and Target planning stage, that's fine, but I think overall to try to link this directly to the ramp and pathway would bog that down more because it's a much smaller project as far as the amount of scale and timing and planning that would be involved. So my preference is let's go ahead and get some public comment about this and allow our boards to review this as they did Coleman and Target, get some feedback there, and but keep it separate from the ramp.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Linking it together was an agenda of a way to make this happen tonight, but I never meant, I don't think George did either, to need it together with your pathway, just to get it in on the same direction, but separate. They are separate.
Well, it was brought up about this being done in stages, so I can't see why that would interfere with your project one bit, because, you know, just like the Coleman property, the Coleman, whatever you call it here, that they're working on, these things are going to be done in stages. There isn't going to be just a big pile of money put into here right away. So,
well, I didn't mean the actual implementations of the project. I meant the plan to the area. And this is a much more complex discussion about what is our future here. I know from talking to some of the very people that I talked to about the ramp that there is a fair amount of hesitation about what could happen down here in the Rock parking lot and how that would be received. So I would expect it's going to be what we look at right now would potentially change pretty significantly as it went through the public process, and that there would be a lot of people that would want to comment because it's such a special place for our town, and so many people have sentiment about what it looks like now and what it could look like in the future. So I think the ramp is a much more straightforward concept that could be viewed by people as less of a change and therefore easier for them to just look at it as a standalone piece that would obviously complement or be folded into this master plan concept whenever that was approved.
Please, sorry. Go ahead, George.
I was just going to say, just kind of like getting the cart before the horse here. You know, it needs to be all together. I believe that the whole plan laid out, you bring in your ramp concept. Maybe that could be built right away. Maybe this thing in the front part along the water edge here should be built along with the ramp. Who knows how it should be done? But I think if you start doing a project here and then you try to tie this into the project, you might not get the effect you want.
Larger plan is coming their way as well. And I would expect that, you know, Mr. Livick's diagram of on the back here of it's mostly about kind of scale with the landings and the ramp itself. I would expect that we'd want that to mirror as much as possible the harbor walk, so that there's some tie into the harbor walk. But I at this point didn't even really want to get that much into dictating what the ramp's going to look like. I felt like that would be a good place for our advisory boards to comment. But I think if they're aware that they're going to be working on that larger master plan and that there needs to be some tie-in with the ramp, then that's good enough. And ultimately, I think the ramp can be a much more near-term improvement than this larger scale plan.
Could it be possible that this ramp that you're talking about wouldn't be in the right place when this is built? Maybe there's another better place for this ramp. You've just picked this spot right there. How do you know? It might be over here with the stairway where they have these steps put in here.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. If you put in the ramp, then you got to have to build the stuff around the ramp.
I'm going to submit you both made your points, and let's hear from them.
Okay. Can I make one clarification, though? With the ramp, I felt like...
You didn't, okay, go ahead.
It's mostly about placement of the ramp. I think for the structural integrity, we have to make sure that that's the priority for that placement and the ability for it to be useful. But as far as the general location where it's at in this diagram, I'm very open to changes that will give us the most robust ramp possible.
Great. Nancy.
Boy, did we get through the process. They're going to decide where the best place is. And the best place for that ramp really isn't contingent on this beautiful drawing. This is a wonderful plan, yet the best place for that ramp is the best place for the ramp, no matter how this turns out. So I think they both need to go forward, but I think this definitely needs to be looked at in conjunction with Coleman Park. But we've got at least three boards who need to look at it. Let's take the ramp out, do the ramp, and have them do this as a contingency, maybe, so to speak, to the Coleman Park project. That would be my choice, to move it on to our commissions and boards.
Thank you. I'm going to echo the sentiments from Council Member Johnson and Smuckler. I think that the ramp is strictly about access. It's about accessibility. And this is about bringing forward and continuing on from this plan aesthetics and other concepts. And I think it'll be much longer. I would support the ramp moving forward to the advisory boards and believe that the engineers will make appropriate decisions for accessibility, which is the goal of that. And this would be something that would go forward with the other concept designs we have.
Well, I sense we're all kind of on board here. Let's just make, that we will move these two through the process, and they're separate items. Okay with that, George? Okay. Do you want to make the motion? You want me to?
Begin some initial dialogue with local engineers regarding best placements and so on for the ramp. And separately, that we also submit to those same boards the Morro Rock developments to be eventually tied with the Target Rock and Coleman Park concept plans and master plans.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 5-0. Good going. B1. Could I please hear a motion continuing this item B1 until the December 13th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 5-0. B2. Ms. Rob.
Good evening again. This is back on your agenda after you looked at the draft ordinance last council meeting. It's for first reading, introduction and first reading. It's basically amending Municipal Code Section 5.04.330, which regulates and requires a separate city council, public hearing prior to the issuance of business license for certain types of businesses. Those businesses are the arcade, the carnival, the circus, the money lending, the pawnbroker, the massage parlor, the tent show, and the private patrol services. With this, we would not have that initial requirement to go to city council for these selected businesses, but instead they would be able to go through the normal business license procedure. Any of these businesses would still have to go through the use permit and would have to obtain a use permit either through the administrative use permit, minor use permit, or the conditional use permit, which would all still be appealable and to the Planning Commission. So there'd still be a public process to obtain the use permit, but they would not have to go through that process for the business license to you necessarily, unless, of course, it was appealed to you through the use permit process. And so that would eliminate the need to come not only when you first get your business license for every year, and then on top of that, there's also some of these that have been, since our ordinance was written, have just been are quite regulated by state law. The pawnbroker and the massage parlors now are all regulated by state laws. So those laws come into effect when we're issuing business license. So with that, I'll turn it over to you for any comments. It's here for first reading and introduction. You'd open it for public hearing and then recommend that you adopt it for move for introduction and first reading by number and title only.
Okay. I have a couple questions. Mind if I go first? My motive on this was that the applicants would not have to go through a city council process every year. We have solved that, right? Okay. And to begin with.
Not even at the beginning right now, you have to bring it to city council, plus they have to go through the whole planning process also to get a use permit. We're eliminating the need to come to city council unless, of course, during the normal use permit process it was appealed to you.
And then after that.
And then it doesn't have to come back.
It just goes right through the police chief.
And exactly. Right. And if there was problems with the business that were had violations either for noise or other issues, we would do that as a code enforcement action just like we would any other business.
Got it. Noah?
My comment is that when I voted against this at the last meeting, my concern was about the front ends and that there was an opportunity for public comment and for neighbors particularly to appeal. And I found out following that item that that would be in place through the permit process. So I'm comfortable with this at the moment. And
George,
I'll vote in favor.
Do you have anything here? This is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address us on this item, this is the appropriate time. Step right up. Don't be shy. Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to council. Can I hear a motion, please? Approving item B24 by number and title only.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Ms. Luker.
This is ordinance number 575, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay amending Morro Bay Municipal Code Section 5.04.330 regarding the procedures for submitting certain business license applications to the Chief of Police and City Council.
Thank you. Good job. Declaration of future agenda items. Carla, Nancy, George, Noah.
I have one, but I think I need to do a little more homework before I bring it up.
Okay.
Although it is timely.
It's your call here, Noah. Don't dangle it like that. Either do it or not. No, we don't want it.
Okay. Well, I'll do a little more homework.
Okay. Gee, thanks for that. Okay. Any other comments from council? Anything from staff? Thank you. We are adjourned.